This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show here on the EWN Podcast Network, supported by Blog Talk Radio. I am very excited to be with you live on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We have amazing storms coming through. You know, I always like to mention the weather. Amazing storms coming through, watering, building up our snow. We were getting a little worried there in Northern California here again, thinking about the weather as we had some beautiful, almost springtime weather last month, and we had almost no snow whatsoever, and things have turned around beautifully, and now we're building up the snowpack, so everybody up here is excited and enjoying this beautiful change. So I am just on fire this morning, loving the day, loving the morning, loving being here with you on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Okay, so what do we have in store for you today? The main theme of the show is going to be talking about creating a brain-friendly workplace. And I've mentioned little tips here and there throughout the different shows on ways to get your brain more engaged and help your brain to be more productive. But they've always just kind of been little tidbits. This particular show, we're actually going to focus the bulk of the show on creating a brain-friendly workplace, things that you can do around your workspace if you're an entrepreneur, or things that you can do in your cubicle at work if you are one that drives to work every day. What are some ways that you can help your brain to be more productive in that space and actually look forward to working in that space? Some of the tips that I'm going to be sharing today, I actually need to employ in my office. I tell you, I remind myself of this information every now and then and stop and realize, oh, wait a minute, I gotta take my own advice here and get some activity going on that's going to create, encourage my brain to work at its peak level. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about ways that you can create a brain-friendly workplace, ways that you can make your brain engage better, ways that you can help the brains of your clients to engage better by improving just the space around you, what the brain likes, how the brain likes to function, things that it appreciates. Real quick, a little bit on the current happenings. So this is a fun week. It is for anybody connected to the brain. This week is National Brain Health Awareness Week. So there's lots of things that we could have done on the program today about just brain health. And some of what we're going to talk about when we're talking about creating that brain-friendly workplace will apply to just having a healthy brain. But it's something that a lot of people, it's a good time to just kind of take stock and be aware of what are some of the things that you are employing in your day-to-day life to create a healthy brain and to help it stay healthy for longer periods of time. So I challenge everyone this week, all my listeners, to stop and think, what's my diet like? You know, what are some of the things that I am eating on a regular basis? Am I including in my regular routine, in my regular diet, some of those things that are known or have been shown by science to help the brain not just think, not just function better on a day-to-day basis, but actually be healthier and create new neural connections and keep the toxins out of the brain? Are you including brain healthy foods in your diet? Things like
blueberries and almonds and the essential fatty acids. Are those in your diet? What about your supplements? Take a look at your supplements. What's in the supplements? First off, are they healthy supplements? Are they supplements that aren't, that don't contain a lot of fillers, a lot of things that might detract from the benefit that they bring? Are you taking your essential fatty acid supplements, you know, to help a critical omega-3s and omega-9s that are critical for brain health? What are you doing? Kind of just take a few minutes this week, at some point this week, and think about that. On the diet side, what's your physical activity like? As science has shown over and over and over and over again, and we'll do a brain health show in the future, and I've done some in the past, but science has shown over and over again how physical activity, aerobic activity, how healthy that is for the brain, how good that is for brain health, for detoxifying, as well as for just energizing the brain. Of course, we know that exercise, you know, my favorite quote, if you've been a fan of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show, is by Elle Woods of Legally Blonde, and how she is defending her client and says that her client couldn't have possibly killed her husband because exercise creates endorphins. Endorphins make you happy, and happy people just don't shoot their husbands. Well, in all reality, exercise is very good for the brain, not just because it creates the endorphins now, but because it helps to keep the brain, just the neurons and all of the functionality of the brain at its peak. So what's your exercise routine like? Are you including things in your weekly routine that's going to be brain healthy? What about what about your breathing and your posture and all of those types of things? Are you doing things that are going to create, be healthy for your brain? What's that look like? What's your routine look like? What's your habits look like? Take stock of it. Take a few minutes, take stock, and see if there are ways that you can improve. I know there are ways that I can improve. I tell you, like I said, sometimes I stop and I think, goodness, you know, I need to take my own advice. I need to become a better client of the Brain Lady. Anyways, that's what I want everybody to kind of thinking about that National Brain Health Week. How healthy is your brain? And what are you doing to continue to grow new neurons and stretch out the existing neurons and keep the cobwebs out? So that's my challenge for my listeners between now and next week. And part of what will include that is how are you working? What's your workspace look like? You know, if you're a construction worker, or you're somebody that works outdoors, you know, you work in the plants and in the gardens because you're blessed to be you know, to do that, then your brain's probably liking it quite a bit, so long as you're remaining hydrated. But for those individuals who drive to work every day and they sit in an office, their brain might not be that happy. If you are an entrepreneur and you are someone who works in an office space or workspace in your home, what does that look like? How does that look? Is it brain friendly, or do you find yourself migrating away from your office often? Do you find yourself trying to work in different spaces other than at your desk? Now, there's times when that's good. That's great for creativity. I know that for me, during the better weather months, I love to move my office, like literally move what I'm doing and move my office to outside where I can just enjoy the fresh air and nature. And that helps the brain a lot in many different ways. But we can't always do that. We may need to be focusing on a computer screen or working on a project that means we have to be in our typical workspace. Do you find yourself procrastinating it? Do you find yourself thinking, I don't want to go in there. I'm going to go do something else. And then your work never gets done. Remember, I've talked in the past how your brain will, the whole reason why your brain procrastinates is because it knows, all right, your brain knows when a heavy load is coming. It knows if there is something going on, some task that you need to take care of, that is going to draw heavily and create a lot of energy expenditure. It knows that. And if it doesn't feel that it has that energy to expend, it's going to procrastinate it. It's going to put it off. It's going to distract you to go switch the wash or to go do something, anything that will make it so that it doesn't have to go do this heavy labor intensive thing that it doesn't feel it's prepared for. So there are little things that you can do, simple changes that you can do that can make your work area more appealing to your brain, that will make your brain feel more comfortable in that space. Neuroscience has shown that there are a lot of things that you can do just literally to help your brain function at a higher level. A lot of you know that one of the things that I began with years and years ago was working with homeschooling parents and home educators, as well as teachers, and helping them to understand ways that the brain learns best. What are some of the things that they can do as educators to help their students learn? Well, the same things that help you learn are things that will help to create a brain-friendly workspace. They are things that will help your brain be more comfortable in that space. And comfort is the first thing that I want to talk about, because physical comfort is huge. I like to have people stop and think to themselves, if you were going for a walk and you sit down, you put on your walking shoes, you lace them up, you go head off down the road or the path or wherever it is that you're going, and you notice that there is a small pebble in your shoe. Well, there's what feels like a huge pebble in your shoe. You're uncomfortable, right? How far on that walk are you going to get before you have to sit down, find a rock or a bench or something, or just sit out on the ground, take that shoe off and get that pebble out? And then when you do that, you take your shoe off and you find that what felt like it was this huge thing turns out to be really, really small, but it was enough to distract your brain. It was enough to make you so that you weren't enjoying that moment. You weren't enjoying that time because of this pebble, because of this thing in your shoe, this discomfort that you had. This is exactly what goes on with the brain when it's not comfortable in any learning or working situation. So look at your physical space that you work in. Is it physically comfortable? And we're going to talk about mentally comfortable in a minute, but is it physically comfortable? Is the chair that you work out of, is it a comfortable chair? Is your, you know, do you have ergonomically correct surroundings in terms of, you know, the keyboard or the mouse, or, you know, are you physically comfortable when you are sitting in that workspace? Because if you're not, pardon me, if you are not, your brain will be distracted. There's just no doubt about it. Your brain will be distracted. And if your brain is distracted, you're not going to be functioning. It's not going to be functioning at its peak, and you're not going to be happy in that space. So comfort is the first thing that I want everybody to kind of take stock of in their work area. Are you in a physically comfortable space? Is the chair that you're sitting in comfortable? One of the things that I want to do is get one of the, you know, I've talked about this in the past too, and I still haven't done it. I got to do this, is get one of the desks that, you know, has that lift on it, on the surface, that you can just put on your existing desk that you can put your laptop or your computer on, where you can just lift it to a standing level, because sometimes you just want to be standing. You don't want to sit in the same space for very long. If you've been sitting for more than 15 to 20 minutes, your brain activity or your brain's ability to focus on what it is currently focusing on begins to diminish very rapidly. So you need to get up and move. You need to get up and stand. And just going from a sitting to a standing position at that point has the ability to increase the oxygen level to your brain by 10 to 15%. So creating a way where you aren't always sitting stagnant in the same position, but you're getting up and moving often, is going to help your brain be more comfortable in that workspace as well. So just making that move and moving often when I hold my, I've mentioned this again in the past, when I hold my brain lady or my life transforming, my mind blowing life transforming weekends, one of the things that, you know, everybody gets their goodie bag and they get all this brain stuff in their goodie bag as well as what the sponsors give us. And one of the things that they get is a timer. And I love giving them a timer. And the reason, the whole functionality behind the timer is that you literally restrict the amount of time that you spend in any one process that's going to be heavily draining on the brain. Typically, what we tend to do is we... I've got to get this project done. I've got to get it done. And we just sit and sit and sit and sit and sit until we force and trying to force our brain to get that project done. And when you're doing that, you're fighting against what your brain's trying to do because your brain's going, I don't want to stay in this position for that long. I don't want to focus for that long on this labor intensive thing because your brain starts freaking out. You get stressed, you get the amygdala involved, all that whole stress response thing that goes on in your body. And we don't want that. We want it to be a happy place. So set the timer. Put the timer on 20-minute blocks. If you're doing something that is in the same physical position, don't do it for any more than 20 minutes. When that timer goes off, get up, stand up, walk to get a drink, because that leads me directly into one of the next points that I wanted to share. And that is drinking water. Water is critical for transporting sufficient oxygen and glucose to the brain, especially during times of intense physical work or mental work. So if you're sitting here at the desk and you need to move, this is where that timer comes in beautifully. You set the timer, you get up, you move, and you go get a drink of water. Pay attention to the amounts of water that you are drinking, because a lot of times you'll have your water bottle or your water glass sitting there. And I can say this because I know it from my own personal experience, right? I always have a cup next to me. Always, always. I carry my drink. It's, you know, my big insulated drink with me everywhere I go. But that doesn't mean that I refill it that often. You know, when you're talking about the amounts of water that you need to drink, you need to be consuming several ounces of water every single hour. And yet if you're working on a long project, you may go through that entire day. And we talked about this last week with my guest. She found this with her clients that they'll think, oh, I drink all day long, and they have their water there. And they only take one or two sips every 20 minutes or so. Well, the one or two sips really only winds up amounting to a few ounces by the end of a couple of hours. You have to actually monitor. And that's one of the reasons why I tell people, get up, you set your timer, you get up, you move, you're getting that physical movement involved. So you're oxygenating your brain. You go to the water cooler, you go to, you know, your kitchen, wherever your water is, your water tank, you fill up your glass and you drink several ounces, right? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a water glass with you at all times and sip on it all the day. But you make that point, you actually make it specifically, okay, I'm going to go drink this 4 ounces or this 6 ounces right now. And that's going to help you to stay hydrated. What a lot of people don't realize is that even mild dehydration, according to neuroscience and the tests that they have done, mild dehydration, only a 2% drop in body water. So this 2% drop is something that the average person doesn't even realize has happened. They don't even know. They're not even thirsty at 2% down. But just a 2% drop causes a lot of cognitive issues. And this is something that you just don't realize. Mild dehydration will slow down one's metabolism, they've shown, by as much as 3%. Now, for those of you, if you're like me, you know, weight is something, your physical condition and your weight is something that's always on your mind. And sitting for too long a periods of time and inactivity, right? You don't want to slow your metabolism down. You want to do things that are going to increase your metabolism. Well, mild dehydration, just that 2% drop, is going to slow your metabolism. They believe that 75% of Americans are literally chronically dehydrated, and they don't even realize it. 37% of Americans say that the thirst mechanism in 37% of Americans is often mistaken for hunger. So your body wants hydration, but our brain is thinking, oh, I need to go eat, right? Not necessarily the case. One glass of water will shut down midnight hunger pains for almost 100% of dieters, according to a University of Washington study. So if you're one of those entrepreneurs that has, you know, that has this on your mind, or even, you know, you're just working in your office that you've driven to, you know, it's this something to keep in mind. Lack of water, again, just this 2% dehydration, is the number one trigger of daytime fatigue. Preliminary research indicates that 8 to 10 glasses of water a day could significantly ease back pain and joint pain from 80% of sufferers. That same little 2% drop in body water can trigger fuzzy short-term memory, trouble with basic math, and difficulty focusing on a computer screen or a printed page. What are we doing as entrepreneurs, right? A lot of time, we spend a lot of time creating our programs or writing our book or whatever it is. You don't want just that 2%. So are you starting to get the idea of what this means to your brain, how hydration and comfort is so important? And that's really important to create a brain-friendly workplace. Just a side point, drinking 5 glasses of water a day decreases your risk, 5 8-ounce glasses, decreases your risk of colon cancer by 45%, breast cancer by 79%, and a 50% less likely to develop bladder cancer. So just from drinking water, okay, just from drinking water. So think about it. How often are you drinking water? It's critical. It is critical for brain health. And how often are you moving? Take stock of this. These are things that are going to create a much more brain-friendly workplace for you to work in. Your brain's going to be happier. You're going to be more productive. Okay, we have our tunes coming in, which means we're going to go to our commercial break. And join me back afterwards on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show for
with
more great
with her thorough understanding
brain
of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Hey everyone, this is Julie Brain Lady Anderson, and I want to share with you something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the Your Best Mind Certification Program. With this program, we are changing lives one brain at a time. You see, it's our vision that by providing an educational and uplifting message to individuals about their unique brain gifts, we can help them to maximize the power of their brain and personality, not in a metaphysical way, but with science. This is the core of what we teach at Your Best Mind. However, taking this life-changing message to the world is a very large undertaking, and that's why we created the Your Best Mind Certification Program. This program is a compilation of over 2 decades of training, research, hands-on application, and preparation by yours truly, Julie Brain Lady Anderson. I am the owner, founder, and CEO, and I have put together the gems of my education to create a remarkable program to pass on to those who are up for the challenge. You'll receive all kinds of benefits as being a certified coach or consultant. To understand what those are and what a difference you can make in the lives of others, I want you to reach out and set up an appointment with me, and we'll talk one-to-one and discuss how you can help me change lives one brain at a time. Shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com. That's info@yourbestmindonline.com. And we'll start to work.
Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show with Julie Anderson. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I am Julie Brain Lady Anderson. And before the break, we were talking about ways to create a brain-friendly workplace, things that you can do. And it's really activities. What we talked about beforehand were really activities, as well as creating a very comfortable space that will help your brain not only to work at its maximum rate, to work in a way that is very, efficient, if you will, but also things that you can do to keep your brain healthy. Now, the next point that I really want to bring out, I love this, is all about creating a green space around you. This is something, especially in our home offices, that we don't always necessarily pay attention to. Now, I remember growing up in the 70s, having houseplants all over the place, it was something that I think every single family had. But the busier our lives got, what I've noticed is that the busier our lives got, the less natural plants we have around us. I know in my home, I don't have them. This is as I was preparing for this program, I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to include this. I have my windows open for fresh air. You know, because of where I live, I'm able to do that the majority of the year, but I don't have a lot of indoor plants. And you may be in one of those areas where you work, where it's either extremely hot, and so you're keeping, everything closed up because of, the air conditioning and being cool, or maybe you're in a place that, 6 months out of the year, you don't have your windows open. You don't have fresh air coming in because of the weather. Or maybe you are in the city and the air outside is not necessarily that great. So you want to create NASA, right? But NASA and the Federal Clean Air Council on Indoor Air Quality did a study years ago, and it was very, very interesting how, especially during the winter months, sometimes that indoor air can be worse than the outdoor city air. Outdoor city air. Can you imagine that? Do you realize that because of things in our environment, in our home, things like carpeting or molds or pets, our indoor air can actually become worse than outdoor city air. What can you do to take care of that? Well, this is creating that green space. It's not only psychologically beneficial for you, so it helps your brain on an emotional level to surround yourself with green plants, but it is also beneficial for your breathing, for the oxygen that you're providing. And they did this study that NASA and the Federal Clean Air Council did, is they found that placing plants in classrooms, because they were doing this based on classrooms, actually raised student productivity by 10%. 10%, that's pretty significant. There's lots of information on the benefits of plants, but in this particular case, they were talking about just creating healthier oxygen, healthier air that you were breathing, right, would increase this productivity by 10%. I know I would love to have my productivity increased by a whole lot. So interesting points. And then again, a few weeks ago, I brought out how your brain emotionally likes nature. And the studies that they've done about how depression is reduced when people walk, go for walks, physical walks, and it is reduced even significantly more when you're walking in nature. There's something about nature that our brains just absolutely crave and they love. So think about ways, creating a brain-friendly workplace, think about ways, how can you bring nature inside? How can you take your workspace around you and bring nature inside? Can you, I've mentioned before, I have one of the Himalayan salt blocks in here for better air quality in my office, the salt block with the light on it. So as it heats, as it warms, it, you know, puts ions into the air. That's a great tip. Put one of those in your office. We have one of those in a nightlight light in our bathroom. Just surround it. It's a wonderful way to improve the air quality. It also gives off this warmth, this warm hue that the brain likes. Can you increase plants, live plants? Can you just put one live plant on your desk? And when you're talking about improving your air quality, the study showed that what you want is the large leaf plants. You want, you know, like the philodendrons or the, you know, the ones that have the larger leaves, because the larger the leaf, the more air that they can actually filter out for you. If you don't have a plant-friendly workplace, then, you know, can you provide an air filtration system? If you're an auditory, you may not like that because of the sound. Those things always get to me because of the sound. But what these are some of the things that you can really think about doing that are simple, and they'll create a space where your brain is more comfortable to work in. So think about it. What can you do? Can you create, can you bring in plants? Just a couple of small plants that are going to bring nature inside. I have a small little waterfall. The brain loves water. Oh my goodness, there's so many amazing things that we can talk about, why your brain loves to be near the ocean, why your brain loves to be near falling water, and what that does to the chemistry in the brain. We'll save that for another show. But can you get one of those little desk waterfalls, you know, one of those smaller little waterfalls that just trickle? They just trickle, you know. Do you, if you're, it's winter time, can you put a diffuser in your workspace where you can put things like a peppermint? Oh, peppermint's a great memory aid. Your mints are great memory aids that will help your brain to be active. There's all kinds of essential oils. I need to have an essential oil expert on the show. I'll plan that for one of the future shows, because there's such a huge connection between your emotional base and your what sense, your olfactory nerve, that the information routes directly to the subconscious. It's only like one synapse away, which when you consider that, it's very minute, this very small space in between the olfactory, where the sense get processed in the brain, and the emotion center of the brain. So great ways that sense and aromatherapy can work on your brain. But can you do that? Are these are little things that you can add into your workspace that will help your brain be happier in that space. You will be creating this brain-friendly workspace. And so now you're not going to be avoiding it all the time, right? You're not going to be dreading going into that very boring cubicle. Little things that you can add, even the colors that you have surrounding you. And we'll talk about colors in just a second. If you're listening live, I apologize for these pauses. I'll take them out in post live editing, but I'm clearing my throat and I don't want you to hear that. So I do these brief pauses, but thank you for your patience. So what can you do in your surrounding, you know, colors? Colors are very interesting too. There are certain colors that have been shown to increase appetite, to increase aggressiveness. What color do you think that is? It's the color's red. If red is one of your branding colors, there's nothing wrong with having red as a branding color. As a matter of fact, from a marketing point of view, red induces, it induces action. But it also can induce aggression. It also raises your heart rate and increases your appetite. So I would encourage you, don't have a lot of red in your space. Your branding may be there, but don't paint your office red. It's your brain's not going to like it. Whereas other colors, earth tones, greens are calming. Blue is calming. Blue has actually been shown to reduce your appetite and to reduce or lower your heart rate. So what are some of the colors? Think about even the colors in your workspace that may be affecting your desire to go work there. You may not be realizing it, but it could be something as subtle as the colors. And that's one of the reasons why having plants, having nature as much as you can around you, you know, plants that have the green colors or the neutral colors, and that creates a workspace that your brain's going to really like. Think about another thing that the brain loves is natural light. So think about your positioning in your office. Are you working in an office that has a really nice window to the outdoors in it? Now, you can even use this window. I am blessed to live where we're at. We live in the Sierra Nevada foothills, and so I look out my window and I see nothing but a bunch of beautiful pine trees. And then the sky peering through those pine trees. So I'm blessed that I have that view of nature right outside. What is your view? A, do you have a way for natural light to get into your workspace? And B, what is the view when you're looking out there? Can you bring in those plants and that view and those calming colors by having a comfortable view? If it's not a nice view, what can you do to improve that view? You know, are there ways, are there things you can put? Is it out towards a deck or out towards your front yard where you could put some plants there, or you could put something that's pleasant to look at? If you do not have natural light, or you live in an area where it's just dark and gray for most, for 4 to 6 months out of the year, which happens for a lot of people, what can you do then? Well, you can use the, you know, you can get the full spectrum lighting, I believe, is what it's called. It's oftentimes connected to individuals who suffer from SAD, seasonal affectiveness disorder. They're lights that give you the artificial version of natural light. Nothing's as great as natural light, but you know, if you don't have that available to you, then of course, you know, make sure that you can, you know, if you don't have the natural light available, you can augment it with this full spectrum lighting and maybe just have a little light that you put in your office while you are working. So these are just some great little things that you can do. You also want to make in addition to the comfort and the colors and the fresh light and the fresh air, you want to make it a space that you are emotionally comfortable working in. Right. Think about, just stand back, walk into your workspace, your office space, a few minutes, maybe have a pen and paper or type it on your electronic note taker. Look at it from the outside looking in. What is my space like? How emotionally comfortable is it in my space? You know, I may have a great chair, I may have a comfortable desk, I may get up and move often, but is what my brain is taking in around it, what it sees, is that visually appealing? Is that emotionally appealing to me? What does that look like? What does that feel like on those levels? If there's too much clutter, if there's too much stuff on your desk, I know, even though I will tell you right now, every entrepreneur is going to have a lot of stuff, stacks around them. Our brain, when I talk about the brain personality connection, I talk about how the home of entrepreneurialism is housed in the same quadrant of the brain that is your big vision, your big picture people. That is where we spend the least amount of energy to work out of in our brains as entrepreneurs. So the downside to that, if you will, is that we only see the big picture. We don't like focusing on the details, which means we don't like going through those drudgery details of keeping things, you know, super organized and exactly, you know, everything filed. Our filing, we do vertical filing all over the place. And that's okay so long as it's not becoming overwhelming for your brain. You might want to look at ways where you can create an organizational system that's still in your visual space, but it is in a visually appealing way. You know, so can you have the file stackers on your desk. So instead of just having the papers just randomly filed, can you stick them in specific files on your desk or on your wall where it's easy to get to? It's not in a file drawer that's out of sight, out of mind, and you've lost it forever. It's within your space to just reach around and get it when you need it. Are there ways, think about ways, how can I create a more a visually appealing space where my brain's not as overwhelmed? I know for me, I get overwhelmed with the visual portion of it. And sometimes that will drive me away from my office. I'll be like, oh, I don't want to go in there until I clean. And then you spend a couple hours cleaning and you just lost a couple hours of work productivity. So think about it from that angle. Are there ways that I can become, help my brain not be overwhelmed by what it sees when it walks in my office? Because that's going to prevent you from being active in your office as well. Right? It's going to make you think, okay, I just can't go in there and work and I'm going to be distracted and I'm going to go someplace else. I love my husband with every fiber of my being, but he does this all the time. He actually has several workspaces. And a good part of that, I know, looking at it from a brain point of view, is his brain is just overwhelmed with having to clean up space one in order to have a surface that he can work on. So he goes to space two and he rotates through these spaces. And that can really reduce your productivity, and that's not a healthy brain-friendly workspace. So think about these. I've given you lots of tips today. We're kind of winding up. I'm trying to shorten the show time to about 45 minutes instead of an hour for more easy listening for my listeners. Sometimes when I have those great interviews, I keep going, and this is great information that I could easily keep going. But if you want more tidbits or you want to get some advice on what you can do in your workspace. Now, I am not an interior decorator. Okay, so I don't want you to think that I'm going to tell you how to decorate. But I will tell you things that you can include. Send me a picture of your office space. Send me a picture of your workspace. And I will tell you things from a brain point of view. You need to have more positive sayings around you, or you need to have change the colors, or you need to do these things that your brain is going to like better. That I can tell you. I can definitely tell you from a brain health point of view and a brain productivity point of view, different ways that you can create a more brain-friendly workspace. So if you want that, reach out to me. Shoot me an email. Shoot me an email, info@brainladyspeaker, brainladyspeaker.com, and we'll get, I'll do a free evaluation. I'll just tell you what I'll shoot you an email and give you a few quick little suggestions that you can do to create a more brain-friendly workspace around you. So that is, we're going to wrap it up now. Reach out and talk to me. Tell me, give me feedback on the program. Were some of these tidbits helpful to you? Did I not explain one of them well enough? I go through, there's so much information that, sometimes I just hit the surface because that's all I have time to. Are there things that you're like, Julie, I'd really like to know more on a much deeper level, or I'd like to see you cover this particular topic, or hey, I read a great book or a great article or a great study, and I would love to have you share this with your listeners, or maybe you want to come on the show. Oh, there's my notification. Or you want to share it with my listeners, then please shoot me an email, info@brainladyspeaker.com. And we'll chat. If you want more information on that certification program that we talked about on the commercial break, shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com. And we'll connect on that. We really want to take this powerful information on the brain personality connection and embracing your natural gifts to the world. And I would love to have you help me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, every week, she is here to bring that change to you. Julie often tells people that their greatest asset is not their stock portfolio, not their real estate holdings, or even their retirement account. No, it's what you were naturally born with, your brain. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Be sure to tune in to The Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson next week and every week, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening. This is the EWN Podcast Network.